Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Angles as it relates to solving the homeless problem. Joe Heeran Mueller joins us now. Did I say that right, Joe?
Good morning, Tommy.
How you doing? Joe Heeran Mueller, did I get that right?
Heeran Mueller.
Joe Heeran Mueller. Okay, thank you, sir. Director of Community Engagement for Unity of Greater New Orleans. Saw a story in NOLA.com by Sophie Kasakov about a case study, I guess a story of a man that was put in a subsidized apartment, but it fell apart in a couple of different ways. And this is an anecdotal story, I guess, but because of PTSD, not being able to get the mental health he needs, the air conditioner, he says, didn't work, so he was better off sleeping outside. Let's talk about, not necessarily Travis Fisher, but homelessness in general, from the 10,000 foot view, because I know you guys look at these things, you look at commonalities, you look at anecdotal things, you look at statistical things. Let's take it from the beginning, if we can, Joe, if you will, for people that maybe would prefer not to see homeless people or sometimes forget that they are in fact people.
Yes, Tommy, you know, I like the way you put that from a 10,000 foot view. At Unity, we're a collaborative of organizations who are working together to prevent, reduce, and end homelessness in our community. And we work across Orleans and Jefferson Parish. And we do try to take a high view over the entire system and see, you know, what are the trends in our community. But our staff are also the boots on the ground at Unity and our other agencies who are dealing with people very much on a intimate and interpersonal basis. Working to get the folks who are housed, especially those who are most vulnerable, whether because of their mental health or because of other health conditions or because they have children in their household or because they're elderly, into housing. And there are a lot of challenges. You know, when folks have experience of long-time homelessness, even short periods of homelessness are very traumatic. But for people who have been homeless for a long period of time, that trauma can compound and really make housing to be a difficult push. But the outreach workers, the case managers, the specialists on our team strive daily to connect people with the supports that they need to get into housing and to remain housed once they're there.
I want to open the Open Heart Jeweler talk and text line here. And I always like, you know, they call it in sales, I think, if I remember correctly, surfacing objections, where it's like, well, why, what is your issue with this? What? And I want to do that right now when it comes to people and the homeless situation. Joe will answer your questions. 504-260-1870, the Open Heart Jeweler talk and text line. Text them in and I'll pass them along to him. I know, Joe, the elephant in the room, and that a thing, I think, a misconception that a lot of people believe, people are out there because they want to be homeless. The majority of people that are out there are out there because they want to be homeless. Now, look, just like contraindications with a medication, you can find one of anything, but that doesn't prove that everything is that way, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
You're right. You know, I won't say, you know, there's not some person out there who has another option and they don't sleep on the street. But I will say that those experiences are rare. And, you know, in the work that I've been doing this work for close to two decades, and I have assisted well over 10,000 people get into housing in one form or another. And I really have not met anyone who, when provided a safe and secure housing option, did not want that. If they were able to take it, even folks who maybe have long periods of time staying on the street, when given a key to a safe and secure apartment, will sleep there more often than not, and progressively over time, will really stay there and establish themselves in housing because sometimes it takes time, but we're willing to work in that. And housing is, you know, it's a basic human necessity that we all have for shelter. And so it's not surprising to think that people need to take care of that need before they can address other needs, maybe higher level needs in their lives. And the better option that you put in front of people, the more likely they are to take that option.
Going back to the 10,000-foot level, and we're talking to Joe Heron Mueller, Director of Community Engagement for Unity of Greater New Orleans, about the homelessness situation and dealing with the homeless. Going back to the 10,000-foot level, when it comes statistically to reasons why people are homeless, and also who is it that is homeless, veterans, men, women, age groups, et cetera. Joe?
So on any given night in New Orleans, we tend to see that most people experiencing homelessness are living in shelters. There are statistically more men who experience homelessness than women, but over the years, we have seen increasing rates of women becoming homeless, increasing rates of homelessness among seniors age 55 and up, which is very concerning. We do in our community have substantial numbers of families with children experiencing homelessness, but we are able to navigate them quickly into housing, relatively speaking. The same can be said for veterans. New Orleans was the first community to establish a functional zero in veteran homelessness. That doesn't mean no veteran ever becomes homeless, but our partners are well positioned to respond to veterans who become homeless in our community, can usually get them housed within days or weeks because of the resources that are out there. And we've maintained that functional zero since January 2nd of 2015.
And
so a really long period.
No, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry. I just want to bring that up because, and I'm not trying to call anybody out. I'm just saying that you can't say happy Veterans Day, thank you for your service, God bless our veterans, and then want to want just somebody out of mind and just clear them out. I don't want to see them, when in fact the person, that homeless person you're seeing, may be a veteran, right?
That could be the case. And you know, historically veterans have really struggled to stay in housing, and so they need the supports that are made available to them through HUD, through the VA type programs that we can navigate veterans to and help them with. But the same goes for every American, whether you are a veteran or not. No one deserves to live on the street, because housing is good for everybody. And, you know, for folks who may experience a mental illness, and that can be a lot of us, not just people who are homeless, right, experience mental health concerns or behavioral health concerns, but lots of people experience that. And all of us are in a better position to treat that when we feel safe and secure, and we can address those higher level concerns when we have the benefit of a place to lay our head at night and the security of knowing that we can lock a door and sleep in a bed.
Let me take a quick break. We'll pick it up when we come back, talking about the homeless situation in New Orleans with Joe Heron Mueller, a Director of Community Engagement for Unity of Greater New Orleans. We'll talk about the plans that they have in place when we come back, and how sometimes those don't work, and also about the continuing effort when it comes to mental counseling and availability of mental counseling, drug counseling, etc., to keep people off of the streets and keep productive members of society, which is what we all want, right? Or at least we should want, especially, I hate to say especially, but when it comes to veterans. Happy Veterans Day is nice, but then wishing a veteran away that's homeless seems kind of contradictory to me. More when we return, 920, Tommy Tucker, WWL. All righty, it is 9:27. We're talking to Joe Heron-Mueller, Director of Community Engagement for Unity of Greater New Orleans, about the homeless situation. And let me go, you know, ask people to text in, Joe, so you can address this. Many of these blanks, and a expletive was put in there, were kicked out by their family unit because of their actions. Drugs, theft, etc. Do not want to expose the rest of the family unit to their issues. Most of these homeless are porch thieves, right? You know, okay, give me some evidence of that. But anyway, just what people think, and I ask them to text in. When confronted, they will fight you. I don't know if that's true or not either. Many offer jobs. I'm just, again, airing this, Joe, so that, you know, if people think this, let's go ahead and address it. Many offer jobs, places to stay for small, odd jobs. They refuse. We have more NOLA because of our open door. Stop being enablers. Until they hit bottom, they will not change. And I texted back, are you ready to pay more in taxes to put them in prison? Because that's pretty costly, just exploring options here. It's easy to drive past something and not like it and say, blah, 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 blah. But solving a problem is something different. Take it from here.
Tommy, you make a very valid point that a carceral or a punitive approach to homelessness, punishing folks because they've lost their housing, is expensive. It's much more expensive than providing rapid rehousing or even the highest level of care that our continuum provides, permanent supportive housing, which is for folks with severe disabilities. It's not to say that the people who have their personal experiences that may be negative with folks who have, you know, stolen from them or committed any kind of crime. I mean, I can't speak to whether or not those folks who are experiencing that have are unhoused or have been unhoused, but I can say that national studies have shown that people who experience homelessness are much more likely to become victims of crimes than perpetrators of any crimes. You can imagine why that's so. When you're sleeping on the street or even in a shelter, your belongings are exposed to theft. You are very vulnerable to assault. And sometimes people are put in a position where they have to trade favors for the security of a place to stay at night. And that is not the kind of way that anyone, a male, female, a senior, young people should be living. I really don't think that the majority of people in our society want that for their friends or family members, even those from whom they've become estranged. And one reason that people do experience homelessness, do experience estrangement, is because being unhoused is such a financial burden, such a cost and time burden, that it can be very difficult for people and for their families and their loved ones. But we do find anecdotally, but consistently, that once folks who have been unhoused are housed again, that they are much more frequently are able to re-knit those social connections that can keep them stable, that can keep them well, to help them be functioning, productive, contributing members of society, which we know everyone can do.
So what happens after you put somebody in temporary housing? How important is it? And are the resources available when it comes to drug counseling, mental counseling, et cetera?
You know, the resources that are available to the general public are available to people who are unhoused as well. And so if we have a lack of resources in general, then that is going to affect people who are unhoused in particular. Although Unity and our partners secured a special unsheltered grant that we're about 1 year into, and that has some special resources available for people who have experienced unsheltered homelessness, that we can connect them to health and mental health resources in ways, in better ways than ever before. But we don't simply put people in a house and leave them there. Rather, we follow a method that's known as housing first. But that doesn't mean that first people are housed and that's it. But rather, as housing is provided, and even before that, we connect people to mental health resources, to the counseling, to the assessment, to the treatment that they may need. If they have a substance abuse disorder, we encourage them to stay clean and get sober, to reduce the harm that those addictions may cause in their life. if that's something that they are experiencing. And it stands to reason that if you have people around you who are caring for you, that are taking care of your daily needs, your motivation to stay sober, to stay clean, is going to be much higher than if you feel like everything is stacked against you. So we really do try to connect people to existing mainstream resources, as well as making sure that the extra needs that people need because of their experience of homelessness are provided at the same time and all along the way.
I'm no psychologist. I think a lot of the people's negative reaction, the homeless, I don't know that it's not necessarily a negative reaction. I think it makes us feel uncomfortable. I think when you see it, it makes you think as though, well, first of all, it strikes fear in you because you think, well, thank God that's not me. The second thought is, I guess I should help, but I don't know how I can or if I really want to get involved with this. This is an issue that's not going to go away. And then when you really start thinking about it, you get to the point of these are people and they really do need some help. And these are human beings just like us. So what can the average person do? What would you like to leave people thinking today, Jeff, about the homeless situation, what they can do to help, et cetera? Just jump in wherever you feel comfortable there.
Yeah, well, one thing is, you know, we are endeavoring to house a large number of people this winter to increase the numbers of folks that we're bringing off the street as part of the Unshelter Grant in the city. Our partners at the City of New Orleans are really pushing to get folks moved out of shelter, to increase the flow in our system. So, you know, if folks want to donate or contribute or volunteer, they can give us a call at 504-483-9300. We need donations of household goods and furniture to get folks established in their home as new people move in. We're housing 100 people a month right now and trying to increase those numbers. So those resources are things that everybody, or at least many of us in the community, can spare for folks who are being rehoused.
When you say volunteer, do you mean actually interact with the homeless?
Yeah, you know, we have member agencies who provide volunteer opportunities, and we would be glad to connect folks who want to volunteer with shelters or day centers that provide you an opportunity to serve and get to know folks who are experiencing homelessness. The Unity Warehouse program in which I work also gives folks an opportunity to package and sort donations and prepare them for people who have been unhoused and are moving into their new homes.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. Have a good Christmas and New Year's, okay?
Thank you, Tommy. Appreciate you very much.
You bet. Joe Herron-Mueller, Director of Community Engagement for Unity of Greater New Orleans. I know this angers some of you, but these are people, man. A lot of them are veterans, and it just strikes me terribly hollow to say thank you for your service and happy Veterans Day and fly the flag and all of that. But yet when you got veterans out on the street homeless, you just don't want to see them and you want them out of sight, out of mind. That doesn't seem to be very logical to me. We'll take a break. We come back. Talk about the logic of getting a pet for Christmas or giving somebody a pet for the holiday season, which unless you get their permission beforehand or discuss it with them, I don't think you want to do it. Jeff Dorson, Executive Director of the Louisiana Humane Society, will join us.